All right, ladies and gentlemen, before I actually get into the news, you're listening to or watching Weird Circle News. I do want to turn off the volume. There we go. And I do want to let everybody know that we are here, or I am here, because we've got a lot to talk about going forward right now. In the WWE. First, last night on the Suds News, we did share that General Hospital has new head writers coming in. Elizabeth Court and Patrick Mulcahy are taking over the reins from Chris Van Etten and Dan O'Connor. Their stuff will start showing in March. However, waking up this morning, and that is, behind me is the new Squared Circle News logo. And this will be released, of course, on the podcast feed as well as being live on YouTube as well. And for those of you, I know it's late breaking stuff, but I had to come on and record this and kind of keep everybody in the loop. Waking up this morning, a lot of stuff has happened in the world of the WWE and TKO. The first thing that I read was I thought it was just a meme, like one of those things that people put out. However, WWE and Nick Khan specifically has brokered a deal that starting in January 2025, WWE's Monday Night Raw flagship program will be moved to Netflix. That's right. The streaming service, it has had a lot of problems with their streaming live feeds recently. They had a lot of NFL, I believe they had some NFL stuff. They dabbled in some live sports, and now WWE is moving over there. But what does that really mean? Well, that means for the all of North America, for the UK, that means Monday Night Raw will be on there, as well as worldwide. All of the WWE programming, including premium live events, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, will be on Netflix, outside of the United States. So I'm wondering, as we move forward, because the current contract with Peacock for the media rights for the WWE Network in programming, that ends in 2026. So right now I'm wondering if what they at the end of that contract, if the rest of the WWE products minus NXT and SmackDown will be moved to Netflix as well. Because of this monster deal. Apparently, it's for a 10-year deal worth up to $5 billion. That means it's $500,000 annually, which is much more than SmackDown is getting, much more than NXT is getting. But here's the thing, is that with the previous rights deal when Ross came, re-signed with USA and SmackDown went to Fox. See, the NXT wasn't even its own media rights entity. It was included with Monday Night Raw on USA. I'm sure they had some extra funding in there and they got some more money for it, but for the most part, it wasn't its own. So with Monday Night Raw moving to Netflix starting in January, SmackDown is going back to the United States, back to USA Network, in October, and then NXT is moving to the CW in October. It's just amazing to me that there's so much going on, so many moving parts, and three different homes. And WWE's basically cornered the market in all of the different platforms they could. With SmackDown being on USA, they have the cable network, cable market. With NXT being on the CW, they have the over-the-air or the network actually, market. And now with Netflix is streaming. So what does that mean? Well, that means that when it comes to WBD, obviously, the WBD talks fell through because they were looking at Monday Night Raw. What does that mean for AEW going forward? Well, they have to get their viewership up. I've been vocal saying that I'm not a huge fan of AEW, but at least the fact of the matter is it's a wrestling company. If Tony Khan really wants to compete the way he says he does, the way he thinks he's a competitor with the WWE, now it opens up much more in terms of possibilities for the AEW brand. Will they, with their current ratings, will they get a monster deal like the WWE? Probably not, but they're still growing. Like, AEW has only been around for 5 years. TNA has been there for 20 years and now is finally starting to make some more noise. Because they had to go through their growing pains. They came out of the box in, early 2002 as just a pay-per-view company. And then they evolved to get onto Fox Sports Net and then Spike TV. And then they had to move around to different networks because nobody really watched them and they didn't have the best infrastructure. I think TNA is in a really good place now where the infrastructure could be there. The NWA obviously has the lineage and the legacy behind their brand name. And quite honestly, Billy Corgan is a wrestling fan, a wrestling historian, almost similar to Tony Khan in the fact that it's a, somebody with money who, instead of creating his own company, he bought the rights to the company and kind of made an indie out of it and has, they've been on YouTube and now they're on the CW app. They don't have actual television per se, but they are going to be on the CW app and they have pay-per-views. So they're building. There's a lot of stuff moving for wrestling right now. With WWE now being exclusive to NXT, well, at least Monday Night Raw being exclusive to Netflix starting in January, what does that mean? That means that opens up a huge possibility. I feel like cable is, and Eric Bischoff has said the same thing. Cable is deteriorating, such a, just the same way as print magazines. We just saw this week the Sports Illustrated is closing its doors. The new ownership just said, "Hey, you know what? We're done with we're done with it." Like the reading is not there. Even with Pro Wrestling Illustrated, they are not printing other than special magazines and special editions, like the PWI 500. That's a print edition. But outside of that, it's nothing. Before I get to the PWI year-end awards, which I'll get to in just a little bit, I do want to thank you guys for watching, whoever is in the audience. The chat is open as well if you have anything to include. But again, go ahead, hit the like button, subscribe, get notified. Last night at 10 p.m., you did see Suds News, because that's our normal Monday night time slot, 10 p.m. For tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, you're going to see Dockside at the Bay. That'll be the new time slot for that show. My new co-host Kim and I will be here at 10 p.m. Eastern, going over everything that was in episode 2 of The Bay, The Beginning, which is on Tubi TV, Amazon Prime, and so on and so forth. And we're doing one episode a week. It's going to be short podcasts because the episodes themselves are half-hour shows. So why, I doubt it'll go more than, probably no more than a half hour, maybe an hour, depending on how well we're talking about it. But either way. Okay, so I do want to thank you all for watching and listening. All right, moving on. The other breaking news this morning, besides Monday Night Raw moving to Netflix, was Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, being named to the TKO board of directors. I was not expecting that. When I read the news this morning, I was half groggy because of the simple fact that, you're waking up, you're kind of looking through your Facebook feed, you're looking through your X feed, you're looking through all the news of sports or whatever, and right then and there, The Rock is, there saying he joined the TKO board, and what comes along with it is that he now has full use and the rights to the Rock gimmick that he can use instead of being Dwayne the Rock Johnson or what have you. He's, got the rights to use the Rock in anything. WWE maintains the rights to use it for wrestling purposes, but now Dwayne Johnson owns the trademark of the Rock. So, as of this morning, just as this is from Fox Business, but it's been all over the place. Dwayne The Rock Johnson was appointed to the TKO Board of Directors on Tuesday as he appears ready to return to the ring to face off against the undisputed WWE Universal Champion Roman Reigns. We still don't know when that's going to happen. The rumor is that it's going to be WrestleMania. What does that do for Cody? And the fact that Roman Reigns is the world champion, does that match with The Rock have to be a world championship match? No, it actually doesn't. But we still don't know what's going on with that match. We still don't know. A lot of the rumor was Elimination Chamber, but Roman Reigns is rumored not to be on Elimination Chamber at all. So he's not going to be in Perth, Australia, apparently. Now, it could be a swerve, but lately, whenever Roman Reigns' schedule comes up, they've actually been pretty straightforward as to when he's going to be there. A lot of people plan on it. And with the money that they're with the money that WWE is getting for Elimination Chamber in Perth, you would think they would want to have the big names there. But whatever, it is what it is. And of course, this Fox Business article goes into The Rock being at the day one episode of Monday Night Raw, facing off against Jinder Mahal, and suggests he's going after the head of the table in Reigns. But we still don't know what that does with Cody. Cody has come out and said that he doesn't see The Rock as a hurdle in his path to finishing the story and finishing his story. It's a possibility that he can go ahead and again hurdle over The Rock and just be like, you know what? The Rock's here, but that doesn't mean anything. He's still going to go on to WrestleMania, win the Royal Rumble, whatever. Now, there's a couple ways to do it. A lot of the quote unquote dusty finishes could see Reigns getting screwed out of the title. The problem with that is because of the historical run that he's on, where he's now in third place behind only Bruno Sammartino's longest WWE reign and Hulk Hogan's reign as WWE champion. He's third longest in terms of the reign. So why would you want to end it on a screw finish? You would want to really be able to put somebody over. You don't want to say, okay, on a Monday Night Raw, let's say, or even at the Elimination Chamber, I'm sorry, Royal Rumble this coming Saturday, where Roman Reigns is putting it up his undisputed WWE Universal Championship in a fatal four-way against AJ Styles, Randy Orton, and LA Knight. Out of those three challengers, yeah, we could see Randy Orton legitimately win. I do, but I want to see if that does happen. And again, I'm not sure what's going to happen. If that does happen, I don't want to see it being where, okay, The Rock comes out of the stands to give Reigns the rock bottom, and then, let's say Orton pins him 1, 2, 3. No, he has to be able to pin Roman Reigns. I also don't want to see something where, Randy Orton gives LA Knight the RKO, and LA Knight's the one that has to take the pin, and then that's how he wins the championship for Roman Reigns, ending a historical, run that's going into, 3.5 years at this point. So I don't know what's going to happen. I know, and that's what the best part of how Triple H is running things in terms of content and booking, is that you can't. Even with the Royal Rumble, there's so many big names in the Royal Rumble this year that, and everybody's kind of got their own story going into it. You have Cody, who everybody wants to finish the story. By finishing the story, he has to win the Rumble, go on to Mania to beat Reigns. Or you have CM Punk coming back to the WWE after 9 years and going to and saying, okay, well, he's going after Seth Rollins because they've had this back and forth ever since before Punk even came back to the WWE. So at this point, we still don't know what's going on. Will, let's say, if Cody wins the Rumble, okay, and Cody goes after Roman, he'll be moved to SmackDown more likely. So that means that whoever wins the Elimination Chamber in Perth will either be the World Heavyweight Champion or face the World Champion. Plus, you still have Damian Priest with the Money in the Bank. So what, how does that play in? I honestly thought, I did not watch Raw from last night. I will be watching it today on Hulu. And quite honestly, I thought that Damian Priest would have cashed in last night on Rollins. If you didn't want to have Rollins, forfeit the title because he's hurt, he's keeping it. I would have said, okay, well then you have Damian Priest come in, target that leg, put Seth on the shelf, and take the title. And then you can have then you, that opens so many possibilities. You've also got Damian Priest in the Royal Rumble. You've also got Drew McIntyre in the Royal Rumble. So there's a number of people that are top guy. Brock is coming back apparently. So will Brock Lesnar be a surprise in the Royal Rumble this year? We don't know. There hasn't been somebody winning the Royal Rumble back to back years since Steve Austin. So it's been a while. There have been others that won two. We know that Batista won two Rumbles. We know that Triple H won two Rumbles. We know that Edge won two Rumbles, along with Hulk Hogan and Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels. Steve Austin actually won three, the only three-time winner. Could we see Cody go back to back? Gunther, who is the Intercontinental Champion, but he's held that title for over a year. He's a top guy. Could we see him actually win the Rumble and then go on to Mania? So there's a number of things we don't know. R-Truth. Yeah, I'll throw that name out there. Could we see R-Truth? I highly doubt it. I would love to see somebody who's just completely out of the blue, has no world championship story out there, win the Royal Rumble. So again, we don't know what's going to happen. And I can't wait. This coming Saturday, Peacock, 8 p.m., is the Royal Rumble Premium Live event from Tampa Bay, from Tropicana Field. All right. Now, while I'm here, I'm going to go over into the PWI, the April 2024 edition, and it is actually the I have to get into my account because I don't know why. Okay, so we're already there, going to my library. Okay, because I did subscribe to PWI because of the fact that I do enjoy watching it. I do enjoy reading it, and I'm using it now for my podcast. So they did have the year-end awards ending in 2023 in this issue. So I'm going to go ahead and give those winners. And I'm not going to worry so much about the whether it's AEW or WWE, because I personally don't care, or the unofficial awards, what have you. All right. So we're going to start with 2023 year in review. And where are we? I know it's in here. Well, okay. So we're going to get into there. So wrestler of the year, male wrestler of the year, as voted on by the readers of PWI, Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Well, let's get started. Okay. Rookie of the year, Sol Ruka from NXT. She got 29% of the vote, and coming in underneath that, and there were four women that actually got the top four percentages for rookie of the year. 21% coming in second was Ava Raine, which is The Rock's daughter, first fourth generation wrestler. Then you had at 10% was Toga. I believe she's from TJPW. I believe that's a women's league in Japan. And then Gabby Forza came in at 8%, 32% voted for others. And then moving on to the most improved wrestler of the year. Now, this is what I don't understand because, okay, so you had LA Knight winning with 31% of the vote, followed by Julia Hart 28%, Trick Williams at 9%, and then Sonata, who's from NJ, I believe New Japan. New Japan. He came in with 4%, and 28% of the votes went towards other people. I don't think LA Knight necessarily improved so much, other than he became more popular. I think it was the fans that got behind him, which put him into a better spot in WWE, which is why he was able to challenge for the title of Crown Jewel. He's challenging for the title of the Fatal Four Way this Sunday, or Saturday, I should say. I don't think he improved, other than the outlook on people. But whatever, it is what it is. He won Most Improved Wrestler of the Year. Comeback of the Year, Trinity. Trinity Fatu, obviously the former Naomi, and from what I've heard, she may be a surprise entrant into the Royal Rumble this year, this Saturday, because she did leave TNA, Impact. She did win the Impact Knockout Championship. She won with 20% of the vote. Runners up were Saraya with 19% of the vote, Adam Cole with 17% of the vote, and Trish Stratus with 16% of the vote, while 28% voted for other people. They didn't get a runner-up spot. That included CM Punk, Miro, and Roderick Strong. I could see Trinity. I could see that, because of the simple fact that she walked out of the WWE with Sasha Banks or Mercedes Moné. And got back into wrestling when the no compete was out. And she didn't go to AEW. She didn't go to New Japan or Stardom like most Mercedes Moné did. She went to TNA. She stayed with it, or went to Impact, and improved her skills, and became the Impact champion, Knockout champion. So sure, I can go with that. I can go with that. Adam Cole, his comeback has flopped. He's hurt again. Vince McMahon was right that Adam Cole is nothing more than a manager. He's got a small stature. He's injury prone apparently, and he's a great talker, but he's not a wrestler. You know what I mean? He's not big enough to be a wrestler, in my opinion. Inspirational wrestler of the year, Mark Briscoe, 37% of the vote, overwhelming majority. I could see that after losing his brother in January of last year, which we just passed the 1 year anniversary of his passing, come back and get into AEW and Ring of Honor. Although Ring of Honor, Tony Khan has misused him. They had so much of a build for him after his brother passed away. They could have used him in other areas, could have given him a world title, or a TV title, or whatever the case may be. Obviously, the Briscoes were T Ring of Honor tag champs when J Briscoe passed away, so they needed to relinquish those, but they could have done so much more. Runners up for the Inspirational Wrestler of the Year, Cody Rhodes at 25%, Richard Holliday at 8%, and Mickie James at 7%. I honestly feel like Richard Holliday could have been higher if he was in a more of a national promotion. Yes, he was in MLW, and he's been in MLW for a while. He's done GCW, but he's never broken through to WWE or NX or AEW. He's had NXT tryouts, just has not been signed. And then Mickie James, being at her age, I hate to say that because, at her age makes her sound old. She's in her 40s, but she's still doing it. She was just named as the executive producer and one of the directors or EVPs or whatever you of OVW. So she's going to be helping out with OVW going forward. So big props to those. I love the Inspirational Wrestler of the Year, Cody Rhodes especially. He's such a great guy outside of the ring. But Mark Briscoe definitely deserved it. Most Popular Wrestler of the Year, Cody Rhodes wins this one, 27%. But this is close for the top two, because Cody Rhodes got 27%. LA Knight got 26% of the vote. Very, very close. Out after that, it just drops off. MJF got 9% of the vote, and Sami Zayn got 6% of the vote. I could have seen Sami Zayn get Inspirational Wrestler of the Year. finally gets to go over to Saudi Arabia to wrestle, you know, after the political problems that kept him out, stopped it, you know what I mean? And not to mention he's a Muslim, but he's a Syrian Muslim, and they had that's all political crap. 32% people voted for others, like Seth Rollins or Bianca Belair or Trinity, but Cody Rhodes took it at 27%. He's definitely the man. He's the guy going forward into WWE future. Most hated wrestler of the year, overwhelming majority, Dominic Mysterio with 52% of the vote. Just listen to the runners up. 8% went towards Christian Cage, 7% went to Roman Reigns, and 6% went to CM Punk. Other votes went to Don Callis, MJF, and Logan Paul, but Dominic Mysterio, just amazing to the fact that he was 52% of being the most hated wrestler of the year. All because he turned his back on his daddy. And he could have been most improved, in my opinion, honestly. He's had a stellar year, Dominic Mysterio. Feud of the year, Sami Zayn versus the Bloodline. 31% of the vote. Behind that was CM Punk versus AEW. I like that. I think that's absolutely fantastic. Then you had that was a 20%. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar at 10%, and Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus at 8%. Other notable feuds were Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso, Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay, and Don Callis family versus Kenny Omega. But Sami Zayn versus the Bloodline, I guess I could go with that, although I thought that Sami Zayn, started off with the Bloodline. Obviously, he turned on Roman Reigns at Royal Rumble, got the title shot at Elimination Chamber, and then it's like it kind of died down towards the second half of the year. But who am I to disagree with the fans who chose that vote? Indie Wrestler of the Year, Matt Cardona, 50%. You gotta give it to him. The runners up for this were Steph DeLander at 7%, who's actually Matt Cardona's valet and kind of partner in crime in this. Allie Catch at 6% and Brian Keith at 5%. Brian Keith actually is now in ROH and AEW, and just had recently had a title shot, I believe. But Matt Cardona is Mr. Indy. That's exactly what he is. Match of the year. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair got it, only 13%, which means the majority, this was spread out. 13% Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. Then, you had Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania last year at 11%. Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega at 9%. I believe that was at Forbidden Door. And then MJF versus Bryan Danielson in March of last year. 8%. Other notable choices could have been Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega from Wrestle Kingdom last year, Reigns and Sokoa versus the Usos on July 1st from was that something? No, that wasn't SummerSlam. Money in the Bank, I believe. And then Jon Moxley versus Orange Cassidy from a Dynamite. Why the hell would that be match of the year? I don't know. I don't know why any Orange Cassidy match would even be up there, nor Jon Moxley for that matter. But it is what it is. Tag team of the year. Kevin Owens and Sammy. Sorry, I apologize. The winners at 37% were FTR. Runners up, 16% of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. 9% for Better Than You, Baby, which is MJF and Adam Cole, and then 6% for the Usos. Other runners up that didn't even get named were the Motor City Machine Guns, the Young Bucks, and then Finn Balor and Damian Priest. But FTR, they're probably the absolute best tag team in the world right now. I wish they would go back to the WWE as the Revival. I feel like they could have a much better run now that Triple H, is in charge. Because AEW's not utilizing them. Yeah, they've had the multiple tag title reigns, AEW, NJPW, ROH, AAA, but they're just not being used right. Honestly, they're just not. Moving on to Faction of the Year at 48%, the Judgment Day. And basically, the Judgment Day. They are fantastic. They really are. They've overtaken the Bloodline. Bloodline won last year. Let's see. Okay, here we go. 48% Faction of the Year, the Judgment Day. And runners up were 16% Blackpool Combat Club, easy for me to say. And the Bloodline came in at 11%, and then Bullet Club Gold was at 6%. Other notable teams were the House of Black, the Outcasts, and the Cosmic Angels. Judgment Day are fantastic at this point, to be completely honest with you. Especially with the addition now of R-Truth in there. Yeah, it's a little bit of comic relief, but you know what? R-Truth is fantastic. He really truly is. Moving on to Woman of the Year, an overwhelming majority, 50%, Rhea Ripley. Mommy's always on top, and it's the truth because Rhea Ripley is absolutely fantastic at Woman of the Year. There's no one close to her. The closest runner-up was Toni Storm with 7% of the vote. Bianca Belair got 6%, and Athena got 5%. Notable mentions include Masha Slamovich, Camille, and Trinity. Out of those, Trinity is obviously is rumored to be going to the WWE. And Camille is rumored to be starting with NXT very soon. So that just goes to show you the WWE's women's division is much, much better. Okay. Wrestler of the year would be Seth Rollins at 27%. It looks like that was a very close competition. Runners up include Gunther, it's 15%, Will Ospreay at 12%, and MJF at 9%. Notable mention is Rhea Ripley, Roman Reigns, and Bryan Danielson. But I'm not a Seth Rollins fan. I don't like his character. I don't like his music. I really was hoping that they get the title off of him. That's all I'm going to say about that. And then the Lifetime Achievement Award for the Stanley Weston Award for Lifetime Achievement. There were two of them this year, and those are Sting and Nancy Benoit, also known as Woman. I really wish they would put her in the Hall of Fame, in the WWE Hall of Fame. She deserves it, even if they don't put Chris Benoit. Of course, they're not going to put Chris Benoit. Nancy should go in on her own, though. And then they're going with the unofficial official awards. You know, these are just people that write in and everything, but that's basically it. Okay, so I want to thank you guys for watching. I want to thank you guys for listening. My name is Vinny. Tonight, 10 p.m. Dock Side of the Bay, right here on this network, on this channel. So Dock Side of the Bay will be here. Tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, it'll be myself and my co-host Kim, and we'll be here 10 p.m. tonight. Again, we are an official affiliate for WWE Shop, which is a Fanatics experience. Go to sudsandsquarecircle.com/wrestlingmerch. That'll give you our affiliate link, and we will earn commission on those orders. So I want to thank you all for that. Thank you for joining today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Go ahead and hit the like button, subscribe, get notified. My name is Vinny, and I will see you the next time for Squared Circle News. Have a great day, everybody.